This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow, and in the world of politics, Stormy Daniels made her 60 Minutes appearance in her next move, a legal motion. And has the Trump administration found a new way to have a partisan impact on voting? We'll talk about a new question on the census form. Plus, the White House staff continues to be in flux with the firing and hiring of a new national security advisor. We'll talk about John Bolton. And the even more recent firing, David Shulkin is out as head of the VA. It's time for the political junkie, Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Frank. Happy opening day.
Opening day. Yeah, that's right. Well, we could talk about that. So who do you think is going to take the American League pennant? No, actually, before we get to that, let's talk about David Shulkin out as Secretary of Veterans Affairs, but really not a surprise. That's been coming, right?
No, not a surprise at all. I mean, first of all, he was the only or the last remaining Obama holdover from the Obama cabinet. So you figured his days were numbered. And plus the fact that every day there was another rumor that Shulkin's days were numbered. And there were some things, there were strikes against him. He accepted some Wimbledon tickets that may have been improper. He had his wife join him for some sightseeing tours in Europe that may have been on the government's dime. So, I mean, he was not completely innocent in all the reasons that they wanted to get rid of him, but clearly it was not a surprise at all. The interesting thing, once again, you dismiss a cabinet official by Twitter, which is, I guess, does not surprise us anymore.
Well, and he upset the president, who does not want a hint of scandal around his White House, let it be known.
Well, he doesn't think exactly. Look, Shulkin was a distraction, distraction from things he'd rather not talk about. And, of course, unlike other cabinet officials who have gone quietly, Shulkin has not gone quietly. He's blasted the administration for trying to privatize the treatment of veterans, the working with veterans. And so he's not going quietly, but, again, it was in the cards to have happened for a long time, and now it's official.
Well, I want to talk about the big news this week in terms of White House shakeup. John Bolton, now the new national security advisor. Let's talk about him.
And the thing about John Bolton is that he does not need Senate approval. So to become national security advisor, Trump wants him, and Trump's got him. And in fairness to Bolton, he is somebody who sees more eye to eye with President Trump on foreign policy than H.R. McMaster. You could say that. So, of course, the president should have his own Secretary of Defense and NSA guy and all those things. But having said that, first of all, Donald Trump campaigned against the Bush foreign policy, against the war in Iraq. There was nobody more in favor of the war in Iraq and the belief in all this faulty intelligence than John Bolton. But it doesn't even stop with Iraq. He's called for a preemptive bombing of North Korea. He's talked about bombing Iran. I mean, now he's talking about just ending the Iran nuclear deal, but in the past he's talking about bombing Iran. So this is beyond, if we're all to talk about possible diplomacy in the world, and the fact that we have such an erratic leadership in North Korea and elsewhere around the world, you think diplomacy may work, but John Bolton has never been an advocate of diplomacy.
Never been, and I think that's the point. The saber rattling isn't new, and it has disturbed even Republicans, which is why George W. Bush couldn't get him appointed UN ambassador until Congress went home, right?
Exactly right. I mean, this was 2005. There was a Republican Senate. Now, yes, there was a Democratic filibuster against Bolton being named as U.N. ambassador, but a lot of Republicans were nervous as well. George Voinovich, the late Republican senator from Ohio, said, I don't know about this guy. This guy is not the right guy. And so once the Senate refused to confirm John Bolton, what Bush did is he got a recess appointment. He lasted 5 months. But clearly there are not only – it's not just Democrats – there are many, many Republicans who are very nervous and uneasy about the kind of rhetoric and the beliefs that John Bolton has on foreign policy.
Among them, Ohio's Republican Governor John Kasich.
I don't know the guy. I don't know much about him. But that kind of language bothers me, premature bombing and all that. But the most important, or preemptive bombing, I should say, but the most important thing is that you have a national security team that can give you a diversity of opinions.
There it is. John Kasich on CNN talking about the appointment of John Bolton as National Security Advisor to the president. The last point he made, I mean, we're talking about the saber rattling, which leaves a lot of people very, very nervous in that position, but not wanting to hear any opposition. And this is something else he's famous for, right? He does not brook an argument. And this is one of the questions people raise. How many diverse opinions will the president now hear when it comes to national security?
Well, absolutely none. And that's a great point. What made Ronald Reagan great, among the things that made Ronald Reagan great, was the fact that he would reach outside his own limited knowledge about foreign policy. For example, James Baker, who was not a Reagan ally. He worked for Bush against Reagan in 1980, but James Baker was a very effective Secretary of State because Reagan was willing to trust him. Remember when Rex Tillerson was out in Beijing talking about diplomacy with China about what to do about North Korea? At the time Rex Tillerson was out there, Trump was tweeting, "Forget about it, Rex. You know, it's a waste of time." So now you have somebody, one fewer person who disagrees with Trump on anything. He sees eye to eye to him. And again, this is a dangerous thing, given the fact that Trump can be very erratic and spur of the moment with his decisions.
Let's talk about the 2020 census. Trump administration added a question, actually put it back. It had been there before, a question about citizenship. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, it was there. It was there. The last time it was there, it was 1950. It was removed in 1960. But basically, the census is now asking whether you are, you know, all these people in the country, whether they are citizens. Now, of course, the mandate for the Census Bureau is to just count all the people here. And, of course, that helps with regarding allocation for congressional districts and the distribution of billions of dollars in federal funds to local communities. But if you're going into California and perhaps other Democratic states, although it may refer to Texas as well, and if you're asking if you're a citizen, given what this administration feels about immigrants, given its rhetoric on the travel ban and the end of the DACA program, there are a lot of people here, immigrants legally or not, who are very nervous about answering any kind of questions about immigration status to the federal government with fear of deportation. And so it's very possible that many people may be, you know, we're fearful of responding to the census. And, of course, that's bad for the country. It's bad for we need to find out who's here and how we, you know, allocate these resources. But none of so many of the Americans may be afraid to answer these questions.
About 12 states are suing. Talk about that. Is there a legal rationale for preventing this? It was on the census at one time. Is there any kind of legal argument against putting it back?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it is. What I do know is that in the past, whenever a new question was added to the census, there was months of vetting. They would talk about it. Apparently, this seems to be a last-second addition, and sadly, and maybe it's not a coincidence, it's April 1st. April 1st is the deadline for Congress to approve these questions that will be on the census, but these states' attorneys general say that this is ridiculous. It's just, you know, it's just interfering on who may be counted in this country, but do they have a legal right? That's a real question. I'm not sure if they do.
Stormy Daniels brought 60 Minutes some great ratings last weekend and then delivered another blow to Donald Trump. She wants Donald Trump and his lawyer, Michael Cohen, deposed. What's the objective?
Well, I should just tell you that I, to be honest with you, I watch 60 Minutes only for the articles, not for the pictures, okay? I just want to say that right now. But look, it was fascinating to say this is one person, Stormy Daniels, who seems to know how to deal with Trump on her own terms, the way Trump deals with others. So for all the intimidation that Stormy Daniels is alleging that's come from the Trump attorneys, mostly Michael Cohen, she's saying, well, I'm going to sue the Trump people. I'm going to sue Michael Cohen because of intimidation, because of threats against my safety, against my daughter's safety, and for all the bombast coming from the White House, or not even actually from the president, he's been very quiet about this on Twitter, but his attorney, like Michael Cohen, says, I'm going to sue Stormy Daniels for breach of the non-disclosure agreement for $20 million. And here she goes and files her own countersuit. So She is doing to Trump what Trump does to everybody else. And so far, it seems to be working because the president is silent. And the only person the president seems to be fearful of criticizing on Twitter is Stormy Daniels and Vladimir Putin.
Well, and interestingly enough, if there is a deposition, that puts that is sworn testimony that we all have access to, and it can be used in other investigations, right?
True. Look, I mean, look, we elected this guy. We knew about Access Hollywood before the tapes, before we even elected him. But there is a certain, given the fact that he, the president, may feel that a lot of things are closing in on him and a lot of things may be led by Robert Mueller, the fact that Stormy Daniels is also causing him more of an embarrassment, will it get his base to peel away from him? Probably not, but it's something he obviously does not welcome at this time.
Let's move on to Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg has agreed to speak before Congress regarding Facebook and the way it handles user data. Facebook users are quite angry. Now, what does Zuckerberg need to do to restore faith, do you think?
Well, I mean, to use Facebook terms, it's complicated. And I don't know what he can do. I mean, given the fact that Facebook has been giving so many incomplete answers about what Facebook does, you know, Zuckerberg has been giving incomplete answers about what Facebook does with our personal information. We saw all the controversy about the fake Russian sites on Facebook. We saw what Cambridge Analytica is accused of taking our information and giving it to the Trump campaign. And now there's a new lawsuit against Facebook that basically saying that it allows landlords to exclude minorities and the disabled and others from seeing their ads when they're trying to rent properties. And again, you know, what could Zuckerberg do? The fact is he could be more, he could come forward with more information, but he has not done that for months. And that's one of the reasons its stock is down. It's just not, there are a lot of questions and he's not willing or not able to supply these answers.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Go Yankees, Frank.
Just ahead, we will hear about an art exhibition featuring artists from North Carolina. And you'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.